welcome everyone to the church service, Wigan Baptist Church, this morning. Just a few announcements, then we'll open up with prayer. Remember, there's an insert, there's two inserts in your bulletin today. The tear-off that we put in the bulletin, if you have any prayer requests or anything that we need to know about, you can use that, put it in the offering plate, or hand it to Brother Tim or one of the deacons, and we'll make sure it's addressed or taken care of. State missions, this month is state missions. Our goal is $1,000. Please take the time to read the pamphlet about state missions in your bulletin. Also, there are envelopes in the pews. If you write a check or something, make it out to Wigan Baptist Church, and you can just designate it state missions, and it'll go to that. But please be in prayer for that, and remember that our goal is $1,000. Flower sign-up sheet is on the bulletin board in the hallway. September 20th, we'll be having a Wednesday night meal. That's not too far off, y'all. And, what time?
Regular service time.
Meal at 6:30, then we'll have regular prayer time, worship service. Standing in the Gap Men's Ministry meeting September 14th here at the church at 7 p.m. Meal will be provided. And then the Titus II Women's Ministry meeting is October 17th here at the church at 6:30 p.m. Any other announcements, y'all? Good. Birthdays. Brother Harold is out of, and Sean are out of town, as y'all can see. And I'm going to have to sing happy birthday. Y'all were, so that worked out great. Thank you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day, Lord. We thank you for the past Sunday school hour, Lord. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that as we move forward into our worship service today, Lord, with singing these praises and these hymns, Lord, that we glorify you, Lord. And Lord, we do just want to lift Brother Tim up to you today, Lord, as he leads us today, Lord, that as he proclaims your word today, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we are here to worship only our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, and just remove anything, any distractions or anything that may be going on today, Lord, and allow us to focus on our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Yeah, I'm not as skinny as Harold, but you'll have to put up with me today, all right? If you'll take the hymn, stand with me and turn to hymn number 215. 215, we'll sing sing the song through two times, okay?
Thank you.
faith in God. We'll sing all four stanzas. Sing.
in the beautiful town of Vantage here in southwest Georgia, where the alligators roam.
We're about 25 minutes from Alabama, about 25 minutes from Florida. The income here is not that great. And there's a big need in our community for foster parents. There's a need for adoptive parents. The kids that we work with, that we come in contact with, as you can imagine, come to us with a lot of baggage. We do not know what we're getting when we get the kids into care. I've had children come to me that have been molested, that were left in a NICU because mama had a heroin and methamphetamine addiction, because mom has mental health issues and just cannot be a parent. Really wants to, but just can't. We are in the Agape Shop in Bayberry, Georgia. The Agape Shop opened 17 years ago. Our main focus is to give clothing and support to foster children. We don't know where most of our donations come from. They just magically appear. And we don't know who brings them. We just thank God that they're here, and we sort through them, and we hang them up. We've had 73 children over the last 12 years. Usually our children are under 3 when they come, and that child may come at 2 in the morning, it may come at 2 in the afternoon, but if there's ever been a need, I've been able to pick up the phone and say, I need diapers, I need a car seat, we need high chairs, we need bunk beds. Agape Shop has always provided.
In the last few years, foster care and care for families in emergency situations has really become more of a focus to our church, because we see the work that Delrose has put into it, we see the need for it. And so she has allowed us to attach to a great ministry of need in our area. It's hard not to tag along when you know somebody believes in what they're doing.
First Baptist took us under their wing 2.5 years ago, and they paid for this building, they paid for the electricity, they paid for the water. We don't see children in trash bags anymore with just a few clothing items. With the Agape's help, they have their suitcase, they have luggage. We have now had a food bank thanks to the Agape Shop. They have helped us put items on the shelves. One of the little boys came and asked if he had a box of cereal to put in his suitcase so he would make sure that he had breakfast the following day. God has instructed us to take care of orphans, and it's our job to do it. It's not DFAX's job, and as a Christian, we need to step out and do what we're supposed to do.
And try to meet the needs of the communities. I think that the disarray that we see in this world would diminish tremendously if we were doing our part. And that's scriptural mandate.
And if you're saying, I can't do that, you're the exact person that God wants, because He can do it through you.
No matter where you are in Georgia, there is a need to care for vulnerable children. The Mission Georgia team has trained hundreds of volunteers in churches throughout our state to make sure that this need is met. The question is, are you next? Go to the website that's on the screen right now and find out all you need to be able to pray, give, and act.
If that don't get to your heart, I don't know what will. Again, I couldn't imagine growing up in a home not knowing where my next meal was going to come from, or how it was going to get there, or if mom or dad were going to come home or not. And we are very privileged to be able to help. So I encourage all of us to give what we can, and give what the Lord lays on your heart, and give a little bit more, and then you know you're right in line with what He wants. Okay, so pray about it, give, and if you can give again, then do that as well. I'm going to invite you, if you will, to the seat this morning, this evening. I don't know what time it is. If you'll turn with me to the book of Titus, chapter 3. Titus, chapter 3. This will be our final message in Titus, as far as I'm right now. Probably next Sunday we'll look at looking back to all that God has blessed us with, but also in the near future on Sunday mornings, I'm probably going to preach a series on having peace with God. We live in a world today that is so confused, is so mixed up, is so chaotic, and we need to find peace, but we need to find peace in God, not things of this world. And so I encourage you all to be here over the next few weeks. I encourage you to be here every time the doors are open, but if you know of somebody who needs peace in their life, I encourage you to invite them to come be a part of the Sunday morning services with us over the next few weeks. I'm going to speak to something today that I had kind of wanted to do a song. I know we're not Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. I know we're not that large of a church. But there is a song that is sang, and Jason Crabb, if you know the Crabb family or have ever heard of them sing, he's the lead singer on that song. And he sings a song, or they sing a song that says, "I'm Amazed." And when you think about that title and you think about the words in that song, we have a lot to be amazed about in our lives today. There are many things in this world that just amaze me. If I'm outside on a clear, dark night, away from city and street lights and everything, you can see the stars and the planets. You have to be amazed. If I'm standing at the top of a mountain, we like to go to the mountains every couple of years to spend a few days or week there, and just to be on top of a mountain looking down at a valley is amazing. Being at the edge of a river or of the ocean, looking out across the vastness in God's creation, it just amazes me. It amazes me that every time I look at my children, I realize that my blood is flowing through their veins, and now my grandbabies too. Amen. It is amazing that happens. It is amazing that my family knows me better than anybody, and they still choose to love me. That amazes me. It amazes me after 36 years, my wife still puts up with me. Amen. It amazes me, but the thing that amazes me most of all is God's love for me. Can I tell you, if you ever get over that feeling of the amazement of God's love, you need to do a heart exam. Because when you truly think about who you are before you were saved and who you are after you've been saved, if it's not for the grace of God in between there, there should be some changes or a whole bunch of changes between who you used to be and who you are now. The problem is, even now as a saved person, I still find a lot of fault in myself. Do you? And sometimes we even do things or say things or act certain ways, and the thought may even run through our minds is, how can God still love me? Which that's really Satan putting that thought in your head. But you might have that thought, say, how can God choose to still love me even after I've blown, even after I've made mistakes, even after the life I've lived? Well, I want to talk on that subject this morning. If you look at Titus chapter 3, we're going to start reading in verse 3. Because I want us to see who we used to be before Christ. Okay? And there's a big distinction between who we used to be and who we should be now. But read with me verse 3. Paul writes, he says, "For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, lying in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." But mentioned this Sunday night. If you're in the habit of doing it, circle that word "but," because anytime you see that word "but," usually in the New Testament, you need to circle it, because that God has done something to change who we were and who we are now. It says in verse 4, "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we have read your word, God, I pray that you just open our hearts and minds to hear it, to receive it. Lord, to put into practice, Lord, whatever it is you have laid on our hearts to do. Lord, I pray that you would have your way. And Lord, help us to realize just how much you have loved us. And the only response we can have is to love you in return and to be obedient to your commands. So Lord, I pray that you have your way in us and through us today. And I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Bible tells us in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have" what? "Eternal life." Everlasting life. And so God set his love on mankind. You say, well, is God going to save everybody? No, God's only going to save those who believe in him. So here's the reality of it. If you have been convicted by the Holy Spirit, if you have been drawn to Jesus by the Holy Spirit, you have something to be amazed about. Because John 3:16 says that God so loved the world. That means you and me, not just say the mountains and the trees and the rocks and the goats and the deer. God so loved you. Does that amaze you? That God could love you. You see, I'm amazed in verse 3 here. Paul describes who we used to be before we were in Christ. And he says we were all once this way. We all were these type people. And maybe some of them, maybe I wasn't because I was young. Can I tell you, a kid can sin just as good as a grown up. We just don't know how bad we've sinned until we've grown and we realize the difference in there. We've told lies. We've hidden work that we were supposed to do. We've shoved our dirty clothes under the bed so we could go outside and play. Y'all didn't do that, did you? We did all those things. We were disobedient to our parents and to authority. And Paul reminds us of all these things that we used to be before Christ. When you look at these descriptions, adjectives that Paul gives, we realize that this type of person is a person who is hard to love. You ever dealt with some of these people on the job site? Let's just read through them. They were foolish. You ever worked with somebody foolish on the job? Disobedient. Didn't listen to what the doctor said, the nurse said, the president said, or whoever said. Disobedient, deceived. Now that could be deceived by Satan, it can be deceived by people, but you know, the biggest thing I find is that many times we can deceive ourselves better than anybody. We can lie to ourselves so many times that we begin to believe the lies that we are buying into. We can go on down serving various lusts. How many of you have ever spent time and energy and money on yourself? Satisfying yourself. You see, that describes who Paul says we used to be. Lying in malice, in other words, telling untruths with the intent of doing harm to somebody else. And then it goes on to say in envy, being hateful. We've all been that type of person who longs to have what other people have. We used to call it Keeping Up with the Joneses. I don't know what they call it around here. But that's what we used to do. But here's the reality. He's talking about being having envy and hateful and hating one another. These people are hard to love. But you know what my Bible tells me in Romans 5:8, and we don't have those on the screen. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ did what? Christ died for us. If that don't get you going, I don't know what will. Because maybe if it doesn't get you going, maybe there was somehow you thought you earned your salvation. But that's not what my Bible says. My Bible says salvation is a gift that God gives. But verse 4 starts out in the New King James with the word but. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, you see, God had to make the first move. I was stuck in who I used to be. I was doing the things that served me and served my pleasure. And there came a point in time when I realized I'm a sinner and I need a Savior because I cannot get to God on my own. Amen? And you can't get to God on your own. And so the Holy Spirit begins to work in our lives and he begins to woo us. That's an old word, right? Many kids, they don't even know what it means. But it means to be drawn to somebody. God causes us to be drawn to him. He made the first move. He made the move. And Paul is saying, listen, in spite of who we used to be, in spite of who we even still are today, God did this. God shows his love, his grace, his mercy through what he does. Because here's another kicker right now. You can tell somebody you love them all day long, right? If there are no other actions, do they really love you? That's what they say they did. You see, we show people we love them, not necessarily by what we say, but by what we do. God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his son. He made the move. He empowered us to be able to even come to him. Because left to our own, we wouldn't seek after God. Because we wouldn't know we needed God. I'm amazed at God's love, but I'm also amazed at God's salvation. Salvation, Webster's Dictionary defines as rescue from harm, destruction, or danger. You see, we needed to be saved. We needed to be kept from being destroyed because that is what second death brings to us. We'll all die one time unless the Lord comes back, right? We're all going to die one time, but the second death the Bible talks about is eternal separation from God from all of eternity. Somebody needed to throw us. Somebody needed to throw us a lifeline. It's just like being out in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico. Can I tell you, if you drop me off 20 miles outside the Gulf, off from the coast, I'm not going to make it back. I'll just go ahead and have my service. I'm not going to make it back. Unless somebody comes along and throws me a lifeline. And you know, that is a very real sense of what God does to us when we're sinking and drowning in our sin, when we're running headlong just as fast as we can towards hell. God sent his son. God throws us a lifeline through his son and says, if you believe, you receive. Right? If you believe in my son, if you trust my son, and you believe what he did on the cross for your sins, you can have salvation. You can be rescued from destruction. That's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did for me. That's what Jesus has done for you who believe. That is what Jesus will do for you who have not believed. You see, in these verses 5 and 6, it says He saved us when we were lost. He washed us when we were defiled. When we were dead in our trespasses, He made a way of regeneration. In other words, he brought new life. He caused us to be born again. And then He fills us with the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, one thing I found out about Jesus, when He comes into your heart, He don't come alone. When He comes, He brings the Holy Spirit to live inside of you, and He'll bring you some gifts. Gifts of the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit. He's going to change you from the inside out. Remember up here, where we talked about Sunday school this morning? He's going to change you from the inside out. You see, what's more important than that? God didn't just want to save me. He wanted to start a relationship with me. Because when I didn't know God, when I didn't know that I needed God, I was on my own. And God said, you know, I not only want to save you, I want you to believe in my Son, but I also want to have a relationship with you. And my Bible tells me that when I believe, I am received into God's family as a joint heir of Jesus Christ. I become a son of God. I am adopted into His family. You see, salvation should still amaze us. Now, why would God want me? What do I have to offer? What do I have to give? What did I ever do to deserve? Nothing. Not one thing. See, I'm also amazed by God's mercy in verse 5. Verse 5, it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. You see, I'm still amazed by God's mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is not getting what I deserve. What did I deserve? My Bible tells me, for the wages of sin is death. Is it talking about this dying because we're all going to die? No, it's talking about the second death. It's talking about eternal separation from God for all of eternity. Can you think about this? In hell, there's going to be no light. You're not going to be able to see around. You're not going to have friends, because I've actually witnessed to a guy. He said, well, when I get to hell, I'm just going to party with my friends. I said, you're never even going to see anybody else but yourself. Even C.S. Lewis said the greatest disappointment about hell is going to be spending it by yourself for all of eternity. Could you imagine being stuck by yourself, with yourself, forever and ever and ever? No one to talk to, no one to call, not going to call home, not going to write. You're going to be by yourself, tormented. But I'm still amazed at God's mercy, because God made a way for me not to have to suffer the penalty of my sins. He has made it so that when I trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, His mercy covers my sin. It wipes it out, and we'll talk about justification in just a moment. But mercy is not getting what I deserve. We all deserve hell. But through Christ, He has made a way for us to be saved. I'm also amazed at God's mercy in verse 7. Verse 7, if you'll look there with me. It says that having been justified by His grace. You see, I didn't just get what I deserve because God gave me mercy. He also gave me a gift of grace, which is getting something that I don't deserve. Mercy was not getting what I do deserve. Grace is getting something I don't deserve. In other words, I'm getting something. I'm getting a gift. I'm getting a present, so to speak. I'm getting God's Son. I'm getting salvation. I'm getting the mercy, the grace, the love, the forgiveness. But I'm also getting justification. Justification. If I had a chalkboard up here, and I wrote from one end of it to the other, and as small as I could, just feel, well, I'll do you one better. Think about taking a pen and starting at this corner of the building and writing a one as close together as you can, as small as you can, all the way around the room, all the way around the room, and you start back over and start. And think about all the sins you commit in your lifetime. You see, justification comes in when I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone as my Savior. God comes along when I believe in Jesus. God comes along and He takes that eraser. And my Bible says He wipes out my sins. He remembers them no more. He blots them out. He removes them as far as the east is from the west. Justification leaves me before God, not in anything I did, but because of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ took my penalty, took my shame, took my sins and everything else, and in Him I have been declared righteous. I have been declared in a right standing before God. And the only way I can do that is if God says I am justified. Does that amaze you? Because here's the thing about me. I feel like I'm a pretty forgiving person, and I let you push me a long way, a lot more than what I used to when I was younger. But I have this problem. Because when somebody does me wrong, I'll help them, and I'll usually help them a second time, and usually by the third time when they do me wrong, guess what I usually do? I start struggling. Y'all know what I mean? There's an old saying, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. You see, my problem is in my humanity is I want to hold something against somebody. I want to, even though they come back and say, oh, Brother Tim, I messed up, please forgive me. And I say, okay, I'm gonna mark this out, right? Y'all know what I mean? Take the eraser and you mark it out. But you know what I find out, even on a piece of paper with a pencil, you can erase that pencil mark, but guess what, it's still there. That mark. You see, when God says I am justified, that I am right before Him, it's not because of anything I did, it's because His perfect Son paid my penalty. He took it for me, and He declared me righteous and just. You see, it is by grace we've been saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. I'm amazed by not only God's mercy and God's grace, I'm amazed by God's Son. Verse 6 tells us whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. When is the last time you've been amazed at just who Jesus was? Let's just think for just a moment about who Jesus is. Acts chapter 4:12 says, nor is there salvation in any other, right? In the name of Jesus, that is everything. So let's just think about the name of Jesus for a minute. Let's think about God's Son for a minute. Everything about His life is amazing. He was born of a virgin. Who's ever heard of that before? Amen? It's amazing. He lived a sinless life. Can we say the same? He taught with authority, even in the temple. He healed the sick. He cleansed the lepers. He made the blind to see. He caused the deaf to hear. He caused the dumb to speak. He made the lame to walk. Cast out demons, raised people from the dead. Can y'all do that? You see, the name of Jesus is powerful. He laid down His life for us. He paid ultimate sacrifice. He rose from the grave. He ascended to heaven. He sat down at the right hand of God the Father. He has provided atonement for our sins, right? Made a way for us to be at peace with God. And he is making intercession for God, before God the Father on your behalf and my behalf even right now. But not only that, he's forgiven our sins. He saved our souls from hell. He should have changed our lives by now. He has provided eternal life for all who believe in him. My Bible says he's gone to prepare a place, and he has promised to come again and receive us unto himself. Doesn't that amaze you? He's defeated sin, Satan, death, hell, and grave. One day, my Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, that he'll break the eastern sky with a shout of the voice of the archangel, with the sound of the trumpet. He will call his children home to be with him. But not only that, my Bible says that we will go to be with the Lord forevermore. Are you amazed with Jesus? You see, the things about life I found out is this. If I go to the beach every summer, once a week every year, after a certain amount of time, what happens? I get complacent. The amazement no longer is there. If I went to the same cabin in the same woods every time of the same year after year after year, that place would no longer have a special attachment to me because I'm no longer amazed by it. But if I go to a new waterfall, if I go to a different place on the beach where maybe the water is a little different color or whatever, there's something new. There's something to be amazed about in any area of our lives. But the problem is, with Jesus, we get so complacent. We get so used to things being the same that sometimes we lose the excitement of who Jesus is and what he has done. You see, some of us may not have ever experienced the Jesus I'm talking about, so you cannot be amazed because you have not trusted in Jesus. I encourage you today to do that. But for others of us, maybe we need to be amazed at Jesus once again. Maybe we need to come to the point in our lives where we need to pray and say, Lord, show me something new. Speak to me in a new way. But while you're praying that, be reading his word. Because he will amaze you even in his word if you'll listen. See, if we're still amazed at who Jesus is and what he's done, I believe it will show up in several things. I'm just going to list off real quick for you. If we are truly amazed with Jesus, we will love him. We will love him. We'll love our neighbors. We will keep his commandments. We will not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We'll give to the Lord. We'll give to needs. We'll give to people. We'll give because that's what God did to us. He gave, and he gave willingly and freely. If we're still amazed with him, we'll take time to talk to him. Amen? Through prayer. But we'll also take time for him to talk to us by reading his word. You see, if we're still amazed with God, it should show up in how we live our lives. Can I simply ask you this morning, are you still amazed at what God has done for you? If you haven't trusted him, I encourage you today to make that decision. Make that decision to follow him, trust him, be amazed with him for what he has done. For others of us who have lost that amazement, maybe we just need to reconnect. Maybe there's sin in our lives that has caused us to take our eyes off of Jesus. Whatever it is today you need to do, whatever decision you need to make, will you make it for the Lord? Will you stand with me as we go to the time of invitation? Father, Lord, we come before you now. We're just lifting up our knees to be amazed. Lord, some of us may not have trusted you as our Lord and Savior. Maybe we're good people. Maybe we go to church. Maybe we're in a Sunday school class. Maybe we could list off a whole bookload of things we could say that we've done. But Lord, if we've not put our faith and trust in you, Lord, we're headed down the wrong road. We're on a path to hell. So Lord, I pray that you just guide our hearts and minds towards you, Lord, to accept and receive all that you have offered to us through faith. Lord, I pray for the one who may need to make that decision today. But I also pray, Lord, for those of us who have put our faith and trust in you, that somewhere along the way, Lord, we're still caught in doing the same things because it's become a habit. Lord, I pray that you would make it real once again to us. Lord, show us truly what you have given up on our behalf. Let us see, Lord, and be amazed at the love, grace, and mercy that you poured out on us. Lord, whatever it is today, we need to make the decision to follow you. So, Lord, I pray that you have your way in this time of invitation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you're taking him